1 Timothy 4:12, "But let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Heavenly Father, Lord, we're going to study the Bible, and we certainly, Lord, would be wasting our time if we did not have the help of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things we learn by studying the Bible is that part of the dear Holy Spirit's job is to help us to understand the Bible. Natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. Lord, so we cannot understand the Bible through our natural or our fleshly man. But Lord, with the help of our reborn spirit and interacting with the Holy Spirit, we can learn the secrets and the depths of wisdom that is contained in the Bible. And so we ask, Lord, that you would open up these verses to us in a really unique way, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that even though we'll be speaking some to young people, that all of us will go through this checklist together. And Lord, do some good things in our life, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity." This isn't a teenage verse, because I don't believe that Timothy was a teenager. I think when the Bible breaks down the maturation process, it talks about us being children, and it talks about, as far as men, you're a child, and then you're a young man, and then you're an aged man, the Bible says. A lady is a child first, and then a young lady, and then an aged lady, or an elder lady. And that's the breakdown of the Bible. That's how the Bible views our maturation process. I've said taught you this before, but it's just three steps. It's not five. A lot of times we want to say, well, they're children, then they're teenagers, then they're young adults, then you're middle age, and then you're senior saints, you know, or older folk. And we've added to teenager. You won't find that concept in the Bible. You just won't find a concept. The Bible looks at you as a child, and then it goes from you being a child transitioning into a young man or a young lady. It doesn't allow this time period for irresponsibility or, well, you know, you got to just understand they're just teenagers. No, they're young men and young ladies. Well, you know, you can't expect that of teenagers. I don't, because I don't recognize the concept. I do expect some things from young men and young ladies, and it doesn't mean that, you know, you turn 12 years of age and instantly you stop being a child, automatically become a young man. But you should begin the transition process. You should begin to make some changes in your life at that point. And by the way, this resonates with young people. I mean this. I've never presented this concept to young people where they weren't anxious to embrace it. Because when I ask them this, listen, you show me any young lady or any young man by 12, 13, 14 years of age, they don't want to be treated like a kid. They don't want to be treated like a kid. God put it in them not to. They want to start being treated as a young adult. And so God even wired us that way. And so what we want to do is, I said all that to say this. When Paul's talking about Timothy being a youth, he's not talking about him being a teenager. He's talking about him being a young man. So this isn't just a teenage message. I think 20-somethings are still young men. You know, I think 30-somethings, I don't know, are getting right in that, kind of living in that neighborhood of being a young man. And I don't know, I'd say after 40, you're just an old codger. You're just done. It's all downhill from there, pretty much. You know, you're just heading for a train wreck, and it's pretty much over. But I really have a hard time sometimes discerning where the line is between a young man and an aged man, and a young lady and a. You guys having a good time? All right, good. I've often said I would tell you where I think a man goes from being a young man to an aged man, but I would never tell where a lady. I'm just not going there. You know, it's fine. I will tell you this, if you're worried right now that you may be an aged woman, I can assure you you're not. You're still young, and you're fine, and you're okay. But anyway, I'm just going to back out of there as quickly as I can right now, so amen. So this is good sound advice for somebody in their 20s. This is good sound advice for somebody that's still a young man. But certainly as a young person, or as a teenager, as we would call teenagers, then this would be important for you too, because I do believe that by Christ's example, the minute he turned 12, some things changed. And that's the first story that's presented in the Bible, Jewish tradition. And I know this is a Jewish tradition, but I think it's supported by Scripture. And I often say, you know what, thank God for childhood. I thank God that I was allowed to be a child. I hurt for people that said I never had a childhood. I hurt for people that say that, because I did. I mean, you know, it's not that we didn't have chores. It's not that we didn't have responsibilities. It wasn't that we weren't allowed, had some expectations, but we got to be kids. And, you know, and I enjoyed that. And but by the time you hit about 12, 13 years of age, guess what? You know what? When it's time to put away childish things. It's time to start stepping up. You know, when I was a child, I think I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. And you do have a point in time in your life where you need to start saying these character traits are associated with immaturity, childhood. And you know what? When you're a child, that's fine. Nobody has any high expectations. You're a kid. But there comes a point in time where you don't want to listen. Oh, I you're right, preacher. You're exactly right, man. I'm tired of people treating me like a kid. You know what your parents would say next, don't you? Because their parents said it to them at your age. They say, if you don't want to be treated like a kid, stop acting like a kid. And so that's fair, and that's part of what is honestly taught in this verse. Notice what the Bible says here. Let no man despise thy youth. Now, I've taught this a zillion times. Despise doesn't mean hate, does it? What does it mean? Undervalue. Don't let a man as a young man or a young lady, don't let a more mature man, undervalue your youth. I was asked once in a conference, and this was back when I was helping Brother Dutry lay the groundwork down there for the Loving and Leading Children's Conference and Loving and Leading Teen and Children's Conference. And the first year he had opened it up for teenagers, he asked me to come down, and I did all of the teenage training worker sessions. And I like question and answer times afterwards. I always try to cut it short and say, all right, now you brought some questions with you. And somebody raised their hand and said, what's the biggest mistake we make with dealing with teenagers? What's the biggest mistake in the ministry we make dealing with teenagers? And you know what? I'd never been asked that question. Didn't have a lot of time to think about it. But I'll tell you what popped immediately in my mind was this. We underestimate them. We underestimate them. I think a lot of times too many teen programs are just glorified babysitting. And they are. You go to a lot of churches, they're just glorified babysitting activities. And let's just, you know, let's plan fun. And I'm for fun. But I'm also for taking our young people and say, hey, it's time to be plugged into service. And it's time to serve the Lord. And it's time to start taking on adult-type responsibilities and being under trained adults to train you to be an adult and to be mature. And so I said we underestimate. I think a lot of times people just think, well, you know what, you get your youth group and you just try to keep them busy and you try to make sure they have fun and you just pray they don't riot and you don't have any expectations because they're teenagers. You can't expect much. What? What? Are you kidding me? Some of the most amazing things I've ever seen accomplished in the Church of Jesus Christ was accomplished by a group of teenagers. I mean, you get a group of teenagers on fire and headed in the right direction. I mean, it's crazy the things that God can do. I can't tell you how many revivals have been started in churches across this country because a group of young people got on fire for God. A group of young people said, hey, you know what? We can do that. And so don't underestimate the young people around here. But now, young people, you say, well, praise God. I'm so glad that God went to bat for us there because he told us, let no man despise thy youth. And so I hope the adults are listening right now. Then they're not going to undervalue us from this point on. But as I often point out when I teach this verse, young people, this is not a verse that was written to older adults. This was a verse that was written to a young man. And it doesn't just say, let no man despise thy youth. But the next three words says what? But be thou. In other words, it's this. Listen, an adult is tempted at times, and an older adult is tempted at times to look at a young man or a young lady and despise or undervalue their youth. But the Bible says the way that you keep them from doing that is you be an example of the believer. In other words, you know what? Listen, well, Preacher, I don't think sometimes people take us serious. Well, you know what? Earn that respect from them. Watch this. Earn that respect from them. I think sometimes the teens around here get a bad rap. Okay, I agree with you sometimes. But let me tell you something. You know how you keep from getting that? You earn it. See, watch this, young people. Part of growing up is learning this. People aren't going to give you anything. You got to earn stuff in life. They'll give you a chance. I think they really will. I think most good people will give you a chance. But you know what? They give you a chance to prove yourself. But you know what? You have to earn that respect in life. And so this is what the verse is saying is this. Listen, think about this phrase here. But be thou an example of the believers. Now, I want you young people to think about this. And when I say young people, again, I'm just not talking about teenagers. I'm talking to you 20-somethings and you know, early 30-somethings. If somebody was to say, I'll tell you what, if you want an example of what a 25-year-old believer ought to be, you ought to look at brother. If you want an example of what a 27-year-old young lady believer ought to be, you know what? Look at Miss. Are you listening to me? Because that's how you earn the respect. You see, what God is saying is this. If you will be an example of what a believer ought to be at your age, you will gain the respect of adults. Now, stay with me here. Say, preacher, the Bible's dealing with this idea of adults or aged people despising or being tempted to undervalue youth. Why should I care what they think? Now watch this, I'm going to address this. Why should I care what they think? And that's the mentality of a lot of young people today. Well, I don't care what older people think about me anyway. Well, I really don't. I care about my friends and I care about my peers and I want to be accepted with them. And if some older person in the church don't think much of me, why should I care about that? Now, I'm going to try to get you to understand some things. What adults think about you does matter. It matters. It does. You say, well, it doesn't matter to me. You're not very smart if it doesn't. Why? Because your parents are adults. Your parents are adults. You know what? You ought to live in such a way that you, young man, you ought to want to gain the respect of your father. Young ladies, you ought to want to gain the respect of your mother. I mean that. Yeah, it does matter what adults think. Listen, you've not been instructed in the Bible to obey your peers. You've not been instructed in the Bible to honor your peers. You've not been promised prosperity and peace and long life if you please your peers. The most dangerous time in a young person's life is when he begins to value the opinion of his friends more than the opinion of a godly parent. Well, I want to say that with about 7 exclamation marks behind it. One of the most dangerous times in a young person's life is when he begins to value the opinion of his friends more than the opinion of a godly parent. You're more important in pleasing and being accepted by your heathen friends than you are a godly parent. Then you know what? You won't have the respect of adults. Well, I don't care what adults think. Well, you should, because your pastor's an adult. It ought to matter to you what I think about you. Now listen to me. The Bible placed me, according to Hebrews chapter 13, as the person in your life that's supposed to watch for your soul. I'm the watchman on the wall. God's commanded you to remember me, to follow my faith, to consider the end of my conversation. You're instructed to obey Bible instruction, to submit to leadership, your pastor's leadership as he guides you. Listen, teenagers, again, can I say this? If you are more concerned about pleasing some stupid little toe-headed heathen friend and what their opinion of you rather than your pastor and what his opinion of you, then you're in trouble. No, I'm serious. You don't even understand how much in trouble. I don't care what Pastor Jerry says. I don't care what Pastor Jerry thinks about me. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. Your teachers are adults. Satan has worked very hard to propagate the lie of the 1960s, you know, back in the hippie movement. Never trust anyone over 30. Yet in Titus chapter 2, God instructs younger women to learn from the elder women and young men to learn from the previous generation, the elder men. Your attitude towards adults will determine your attitude towards godly instruction. Listen, you need to respect your teachers. Because if you don't respect your teachers, in a sense, what you're really not respecting is what they're teaching you. Let me just see if I can bring it down a little and help you a little bit. I don't care what adults think. Your boss one of these days will be an adult. Which one of your peers is going to hire you? Now, which one of your little, you know, punky friends is going to offer you a job for $18 an hour, $20 an hour, $25 an hour? Well, I don't care what adults think. Well, listen, you walk on the job place with that attitude, and you know what? That you don't care what the foreman thinks. You don't think what the owner thinks. You don't care what the boss thinks. You know what? He's going to send you out on the street. Okay? Your peers aren't going to hire you. Think about that. An adult's impression of you will determine whether or not you receive a good job and whether you keep it. An adult is going to make that decision. You know, not one of your little rebel friends. An adult's going to make that decision. Okay? Adult employers, listen to me, are not impressed by immaturity and irresponsibility, nor will they tolerate it for very long. If you're a headache to them, you know what? They don't need the headache. There's 10 guys waiting outside the gate that'll take your job. You know what? You're a problem. You never grew up. I'm not going to babysit you. Go.
Yes, sir.
And that's what they'll do.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? I don't care what adults think. Well, good. Don't care what adults think standing in the unemployment line, because that's where you're going to be. All right. You'll never achieve Christ likeness until you learn to gain the respect of adults. One of the things that is said about the 12-year-old Christ child is that he gained favor with both God and man. And you know what? When Jesus Christ walked through the streets of Galilee, you know what? The men, listen to me, the men in that town looked at him and went, kid squared away. Tell you what, there's something about that kid. I mean, he gained their respect. He gained their favor. Okay? So it ought to matter to you. Now watch this. Then we're given in this scripture a list. And this is why I say it's one of the most important verses in all of the Bible when it comes for young people. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Okay, it doesn't stop there. The Bible's very specific then. How should I be an example of the believer? Watch this. There's going to be six areas where adults judge you. Well, you're not supposed to judge. You don't know your Bible. Okay. Let me just say this. You know how I can always spot a carnal Christian? Because the only verse they know is judge not lest you be judged. Judge not lest you be judged. You're not supposed to judge. Have you done a word study on every place in the Bible where the word judged is used? Have you read the many times the Bible tells us to judge? Okay, you go down the road about 150 miles an hour and get pulled over by a policeman, you're going to stand in front of a judge. Yes, you are.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be able to say, hey, sorry, you don't have no say in this. Judge not, lest you be judged. He's going to put you in handcuffs and let you sit and think about that verse for about 6 months in the county jail is what he's going to do with you. What are you talking about? The Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. Yeah. That's the most misused, taken out of context, ridiculous. You know why people that are carnal want to use that? Because they want to be carnal and nobody have a right to say anything about it. Well, let me say this. Adults, watch this, young people. Adults judge you. Well, they shouldn't. I'm telling you, they do. And they're judging you in six areas. And in these six areas, if you pass the test, you will have the respect of adults. If you fail the test in these areas, they're not going to come up to you and say, hey, you're a punk. They're probably not going to come to you and say, why don't you stop being so... You know what they're going to do? They're just going to say, okay, that's who he is. Okay, that's who she is. And one of these days when they want to hire somebody, they don't want to hire you. You know what? Watch this. If you got to walk down to Punk Central in Linton and walk where they're all hanging out on the hoods of the cart, and that's the only place you can walk and people think you're really something, you're in trouble in life. Oh, man, but I'm telling you what, when we spend our hours wandering the mall, man, the other mall rats, they're impressed with me. You're in trouble. You're in so much trouble. Oh, man, but I'm a queen. I'm a queen on Facebook. You're in so much trouble. Young man, listen to me. The Bible says even a child is known by his doings. And young people, I want to help you with this, and I mean this. You know what? You have a reputation right now. You either have a good one, you have an average one, or you have a poor one. Now, if you have a poor one, you can change it. How many of you, let's help each other right now. How many of you, ladies and men, If somebody came in here and they came in with baggage, they came in with a bad reputation, and I mean they've kind of earned it. How many members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, if somebody was making an honest, genuine effort to fix that and turn it around, how many of you would pray for them and support them and encourage them in that and give them a second chance? See, I think the devil sits on our shoulders sometimes and say, well, you are a balloon and everybody thinks you're rotten, so you might as well go be rotten. That's a bunch of baloney. That's the devil telling you that. The honest truth is, what I found amongst Christian people is they're pretty generous. You see, they're rooting for you. They want you to make it. They want you to, listen, you know, and even if you say, yeah, preacher, I'm not perfect. I've done a few dumb things. Yeah, well, you know what? Most of the adults around here could get up and testify right now a little bit. Amen. Come on. You know, I mean, you don't just snap your fingers one day and all immaturity leaves you. And I mean, it's a process, all right? But people will give you a chance. And you know what? You say, preacher, I think I've got a poor and average reputation. Then work on having a good one. How do I do this? All right, let's get to them. I'm going to do them quick, all right? There's six areas here. Adults are going to judge you in six areas of your life. Number one, they're going to listen to what you say. Adults respect excellent speech. Why? Why do people listen to what you say? Because words are a window to your soul. They are the result of the abundance of your heart, and know what the Bible says. They reveal who you really are. Adults know this and they listen. You see, you know, you may not think adults are listening to you when you're talking, but they listen to you. They hear more than you think. And when you say something that shows wisdom beyond your years, you know what they say? Wow. Man, that's good coming from a kid that age. That, wow, I'm pretty impressed. You go around babbling nonsense and you know, playing the fool and saying stupid things, you're going to not have the respect of adults. You're not going to have the respect of mature Christians. In my book, The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ, I've got the 10 laws of excellent speech. We cover them from time to time. We teach them in some of our ministries here. But you ought to memorize them things. Meditate on them. I think as a young person trying to get a good reputation, you ought to carry a copy around on a 3x5 card. Review them until they become engraved upon your heart. What you say does matter. Number two, adults respect mature behavior. The second word there, they be thou example of the believer in word, what you say, in conversation. The word conversation in the King James Bible is talking about behavior. It's beyond just your words. It's talking about your behavior, your conduct. It is the doings by which you are known. Now, young people, one of the things that you have to learn to do is as a Christian, is learn that there are certain behaviors, certain ways to act, depending on situations. You have to learn, here's a word, you have to learn what's appropriate. Okay, it doesn't mean you can never have fun. It doesn't mean you have to stand around there looking all sober and serious. There's times to have a blast, and you know what? I mean, some of the adults, older people around here, you get them in the right environment where it's fun time, and they'll crack you up. I mean, the crazy spoon game thing they had going the other night, somebody needs to call a psychiatrist or something, you know. Have fun. Have a good time. But you know what? If you carried on like that in the middle of a sermon or at a funeral. Okay, I mean, honestly, here's maturity. Here, listen, how do I behave? Okay, you behave in the context of the situation. Okay, so learn to be appropriate. If it's time to play, then let's go play. Let's have fun. If it's time to be serious, let's be serious. If it's time to learn something, then let's study. Okay, you know, it's time to go fishing. Let's go fishing, man. Time to go hunting. Why did that come up? Why did that come up? See, anything significant happened this week? I didn't mean that. It's not in my notes, Brother Chad. I just stumbled into it somehow, you know. My prayers have been answered. Yes, yes, a great burden has been lifted off. And I appreciate the sincere concern and pity that I felt from the congregation the other night. It helped me. And so I killed a buck this week. I did. And then I get supporting text after I send the pictures out bragging to everybody. Like, did you Photoshop out the tire tracks on that deer? When I sent my wife's deer picture, no one asked that. But I'll just say this. Hers had 8 points and mine had Thank you very much. All right.
It was mine.
And it had two eyes. That's what Brother Abel. Brother Abel wanted to know if it had two eyes. Yeah. Amen. It's all right. That's right. I'm going to keep living for Jesus. I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to be appropriate to the situation. But to walk into a situation and be able to say, you know what, folks, listen. I said a funeral, but a minute ago, I've watched people at funerals playing the fool.
Yeah.
Honestly, I've watched them cutting up and carrying on, and I look up at the family and I think, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I've watched people at weddings, you know, just be irresponsible. Just, you know, one of the things that, you know, we try to do around here, and, you know, I'll never probably ever win it exactly without just being mean and making people mad, but, you know, I don't care if it's my baby, your baby, whatever. When you have a baby, it's going to cry, probably in the course of an hour's service. And yet people are more concerned about what they want to do than the most important day for that family and that couple. And just be appropriate. Guess what? Every situation's not about you. You know, when you guys go soul winning, be appropriate. When you knock on doors and people are watching, be appropriate. They're watching you. And so it's just, you know, maturity is talking about your behavior, okay? You know, sometimes, this isn't helping with this group, but I went back years ago and went into the foyer and I had two teenage boys in there and they were wrestling around. One of them got hit and another one in a headlock. And this is before church is starting. And they're just, I mean, they're banging against the wall and carrying on. And I went over and I ripped them. I mean, I did. I let them have it. I let them have it. You say, well, preacher, they're just being teens. They were just, no, they're being inappropriate. Okay, could you imagine walking back in the foyer and seeing Charles English and Bob Townsley back there? Brother Charles got Brother Townsley and he's giving him a noogie and Brother Townsley's hitting him like that. And you'd call Crazy Kate's and you'd get them put in there, man. You'd take them to a mental institute. You'd think they'd lock, well, wait a minute. Listen, here's how you learn how to behave, young man. I've just taught you something. Okay, you walk in a situation, look around at older men. How are they behaving in this situation? Okay, if Brother Charles doesn't have Brother Townsley in a headlock, maybe you shouldn't get your buddy in a headlock, you know? Okay, just learn, okay? Adults respect, here's the word, selfless love. The next word is charity. In the Bible, the word charity comes from the word agape. It's a selfless love, not a selfish love. It's a selfless love. God says in his word that in these last days, men will be lovers of their own selves. See, an adult's going to figure out where your love is. They're going to examine you in this area of charity. Are you in love with you? If you are, they'll notice it real quick. You know? Okay, that person, that kid's all about them. That young lady's all about her. Oblivious to anybody around her, just all about her. And you know, they have no respect for that. But I'm going to tell you something. I love Sunday mornings. Young people, can I just give you congratulations? I mean, when I'm up here conducting opening assembly and the buses are coming in and I'm watching teenage bus workers come walking in, helping little children to get to their classroom and volunteering to help in the nursery. And I mean, you know what? Just losing yourself in other people. Looking for that teenage girl that's brand new and grabbing her, looking for a teenage guy that kind of looks lost and says, hey, you want to come up and sit with us? I mean, you may not think that makes an impression, but I promise you, if you do something like that, almost every adult in this church recognizes it. And I'm not saying do things just so people see it, but if you do the right things, people will see it. And they'll respect you for that. And I love the fact, I see it in our young people a lot. I look and I think to myself, you know what? At this point in time, they could be being selfish, they could be about them, they could be about their friends, but they have laid all this aside for this time to serve somebody else, and man, that causes me to have a lot of respect for them. Okay, so good on you. Adults respect a good attitude. And the next word is what after charity?
Spirit.
Spirit. Well, young people, listen to me. I'm going to tell you what, nothing will cause an adult to lose more respect for you than if you always walk around with a bad attitude. Okay? One man said your attitude, not your aptitude, determines your altitude. I don't even know what that means. It just sounds good, though. Your attitude reveals your gratitude. A good attitude is admired, appreciated by everyone. You know, Remember I preached not too long ago about being a thermometer or a thermostat? I mean, listen, don't be influenced by your environment. Influence your environment. Okay, learn to be enthusiastic. Learn to be excited. Young people, guess what? There's a lot of things that's going to go wrong in life. Okay? A lot of things are going to go wrong in life. How are you going to react when they do? Some people just fall apart. Some people just get all mad. Some people just start criticizing and whining. Good night. You know what? Put a smile on your face. Somebody said something happened the other day, and I can't remember what it was, and there was a mix-up and a mess-up, and somebody came to me and said, you know, man, I'm sorry about that preacher. I shouldn't have let that happen. I said, and you know, I looked at him and said, if that's the worst thing that happens to me today, I've had a pretty good day. Stop letting every little thing just make you crazy. Okay, people aren't perfect. Okay, you're not either. Get over it. Okay, but I planned this and I wanted it to just go like this and this thing. You know, those are called memories. Nobody remembers anything when it goes right. People remember things when they go wrong. Those are the memories. I tell a young couple when we're preparing for their wedding, one of the things I said is, you know what? We're planning all this out. We've got it all laid out. You've got a beautiful order of service. You've got everything. We have practiced it. I can't promise you tomorrow that everything will go according to plan, but I will promise you one thing. At the end of the service, you'll be married. One way or another, we won't leave. And some of the funniest memories around here are when things didn't go according to plan. It's all right. You know, just be careful. Have a good attitude about stuff. Just learn to have a good, put a smile on your face when you don't feel like smiling. Just do it anyway. When you want to complain, attempt to complain, just kind of take a step back and laugh and say, you know what? And watch this. I really will help you with something. Learn to laugh at yourself. You got a pretty good example of that, honestly. You got a good example of that in your pastor. Good night. You know, most people take themselves way too seriously. I mean, they really do. I can mess up and laugh about it. Matter of fact, almost every dumb thing I ever do, I come to the pulpit and tell on myself. And sometimes I'll do something really stupid and I'll say, I am not going to say that. I'm not telling anybody this. You know, I was by myself. Nobody saw it. So what do? A couple sermons later, I'll say, you're not going to believe what happened to me the other day. And I'll tell on myself. And some people are so worried about, you know, oh my goodness sakes, I messed up. What if somebody finds out? Good night, I mess up and I tell everybody. And so, you know, learn to laugh at yourself, you know. Don't take yourself so serious. And just kind of learn to enjoy life quickly. Number five, adults respect sincere faith. The next word is faith, in faith. How refreshing to see young people serving the Lord. I mean that. Thank God for you. What an encouragement it is to your parents to catch you reading the Bible, to go by your door and look through the crack of your door and see you knelt down at your bedside having your time of prayer. I'm just saying, you know. I know you're not doing it to be seen of men. That's not the purpose. I'm just saying that people notice. You know, I love to see. I'm so proud of our young people singing specials in church. We went on that Hopi Indian Reservation trip. We had young people stand up, giving their testimony time and time again, you know, openly and unashamedly standing up for the Lord, speaking up for the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. I mean, that's just like, I mean, adult people look at that and say, you know what, they're not ashamed of Jesus. They're not ashamed to get up. And for some of you young people, it's more comfortable than others. Some of you, you know, getting up and singing is not a problem. For some of you, it's really difficult for you to do. You know, you're just personality type. But when you overcome that and do it because you're doing it for the Lord, and I mean the touch of God's on you and you're thinking about the words and there's an anointing to it, I mean, I'm just going to tell you something. That blesses your church. The last thing, adults respect wholesome purity. Wholesome purity. So here's the six things. Be thou an example. You know, preacher, I feel like sometimes that adults undervalue me as a young person. Okay. Here's how you turn that thing around. You be an example of the believer in what you say, in how you behave, in your love, the type of love that you have, in your spirit or your attitude, in your sincere faith, and in your purity. Now, let me just finish because I don't want to jump over this last one. I need to say some things. Listen to me. If you want to lose the respect of godly men and godly women, young people, then you start trying to figure out where the line on this thing on purity is. Okay? People watch. Young men, I'm proud of you for this. I mean this. I'm not beating up on anybody around here, but you know what? Adult men watch the way you young men conduct yourself around young ladies. And I feel like our young men here are very much gentlemen around our young ladies. And I'm around them a lot. I watch a lot of things. And young ladies, the ladies in this church watch how you conduct yourself around young men. You know, if you're just a shameless flirt, honestly, I'm just trying to help you with this. You don't have the respect of adult people. They're watching you throwing yourself at guys all the time and doing silly things to try to get their attention and all that, you know. And watch this. In purity, you want to lose respect, young ladies? All of a sudden you start dropping your dress standards. Okay, you want to dress in such a way where you're provocative and where you're trying to draw men's eyes and attention to yourself. You know what? Godly adults, you lose respect with them. And by the way, don't throw rocks at them. Okay? That's the way we're wired. That's the right way to be. Okay, so young ladies, I appreciate it. Again, and I can really brag on our young ladies. And by the way, parents, let me brag on you. Because you're the ones that's helping us hold the line on this and helping your young people. And let me help the teenage girls. I mean, I dealt with it in our home. Sometimes you're not going to see why a certain outfit, I just don't see what's wrong with it. Okay, but you got to trust daddy sometimes. You just got to trust daddy sometimes. You just got to trust mom sometimes. And you know what? Sometimes you're going to go back to your room and you're going to be upset. Okay, stay in your room and be upset for a while. Honestly, because we don't really want to be around you at that point anyway. But honestly, you know what? I understand you get emotional, you get upset. After you're upset for a while, then get down on your knees and say, thank you, God, that I have a mom and dad that help me hold the line. Because, see, what they're helping you do is keep respect of adults. Okay? You start hiking the skirts up, and you know what? You're going to lose respect. You start wearing the lower, you know what? You're going to lose respect. From godly people, you're going to lose respect. Now, you may catch the attention. You may gain the attention of some little hound dog out here. Some little pervert might all of a sudden think you're just all that. But adults will see you for what you are. And so be careful. Gentlemen, train yourself to avoid looking at inappropriate advertisements. Okay? I mean, you're driving down the road, there's billboards. I'm sick of billboards. I wish someone told me in one of the states, which was it? Who told me that? That there's a state in the union where there's a law against billboards? There are no billboards. Who told me that? Massachusetts? No. One of the New England states, I think. I don't know who told me that. I said, man, make that the law of the land. Let's get rid of them. Whoever thought we could just, you know, here's this beautiful Indiana drive, you know, and the leaves are changed, beautiful, and all of a sudden, signs everywhere. Okay, there you are. Man, I'll tell you what happens in your car. I'm telling you what happens in your car. There's an inappropriate picture right up there, okay? You look at that, but your wife's looking at you. By the way, your kids are looking at you. All right. You want to have respect? Then gain respect through purity. Okay. I mean, you know what? You see something like that? I get it. You've seen it. All right. You know what? You can't keep a bird from flying across your above your head, but you can keep it from landing on your head and building nests. So sometimes ladies, and I wish they wouldn't do this. I say ladies, I'm using the term loosely, but women dress inappropriate. I mean grossly inappropriate in this day. I mean grossly inappropriate. And, you know, you're walking through Walmart, and all of a sudden here comes a little hoochie mama around the corner, and she's dressed for only one purpose, and that's get everybody to look at her. And I just made up my mind years ago, you know what? I'm not only not going to look at her. I'm purposely ignoring her. I absolutely will turn my back completely. You know what? And nothing aggravates one of them more than somebody they can't get to look. It really does. It drives them nuts. I turned my back, had them circle, looking at me, and I just turned my back. You know why? Watch this. Because I have no respect for you for dressing like that. None. Okay? Don't let them win. And so if you want to gain respect from adults, be very careful in this. When you look at a lady, look in her eyes. Young men, keep your hands off the young ladies. You want to get a bad reputation quick, then be one of those that's always finding out some way to rub up against or touch or put your arm around. You can laugh all you want to at this no-touch rule, but I'm going to tell you something. You throw that thing away, you'll throw your purity away. You throw that away, you'll throw your purity away. Okay, that's the only thing standing between some of you and disaster. You better thank God for it. Beware of the world's perverse brand of humor. Somebody says something and tells a joke that's perverted. It's impure. You know what? Everybody else laughs. You know what you got to do as a Christian? Look at that guy, you know? Maybe he didn't know where the story was going, and all of a sudden, and they all laugh and go, just look at him and go, and turn around and walk off. Okay? That's how you gain respect of men, okay? Young ladies, dress modestly, appropriately. Tight-fitting clothes do not make you look sexy. They make you look cheap. Tight-fitting clothes do not make you look sexy. They make you look cheap. Don't be a flirt. Keep your hands off men. Be especially appropriate around other young men. No one respects a girl with loose morals. Wicked men may give you attention, then use you, but they won't want to marry you. Be an example of the believer in purity. So this is the verse, man. If you'll just say, all right, you know what? What I want to do is I want to be an example of the believer in six areas. What I say, how I behave myself, the way that I love, selfless love, not selfish love, selfless love, in my attitude, in my sincere faith, and in my purity. If you walk the line in those six areas, you know what people are going to, adult people will say, that's a good kid right there. That's a sharp kid right there. You watch that kid. God's going to use that kid right there. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the word of God. I pray, Lord, that as we have been challenged through the scriptures, dear God, that we would have, Lord, young people, that would continue, because I think the vast majority of them are, continue to live their life in such a way that, number one, would bring glory and honor to you, but also, dear God, that they would be more worried about impressing godly adults than they are, Lord, the world and their peers, especially if they've chosen peers that are ungodly. I pray, Lord, that you'd help some of our young people, dear God. Lord, it's so easy to get so mixed up so quick. Help them get turned around, dear God. Help them get to repent, dear God. Turn from some of this foolishness, sinfulness, dear God. Work on their hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name.